Welcome to the Mojo Market Report. Here's your hosts, Dave Sturgio and Chris Gucci.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mojo Market Report right here on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, April the 25th, 2023. And of course, your host, Dave Sturgio, Chris Gucci over there. Lots to get into today. We were going over the show yesterday. We were mapping it out. I said, all right, we got to do some mock draft stuff. The NBA is rolling on. We're all done. I was done putting it all together. And then Adam Schefter breaks the news. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers is officially done and leaving the Packers. It is over, folks. The Aaron watch is done. It's over. No more discussion. No more if he will, he won't, he. I don't know what the compensation is.
Idiot Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, I know. Dan Orlovsky.
As if we didn't all know this trade was going down this week.
The trade was going to happen, right? And of course, throughout the course of the last couple weeks, you got things like there's another team involved or this, but it was just a little pressure put on the New York Jets to get something done. Now I ask you this, Chris. The parameters of the trade that went down, by the way, here they are, just quickly recapping what we just saw. The Jets and the Packers swap first rounders. So the Packers move from 15 to 13, vice versa. The Jets go to 13 to 15. The Packers get the Jets' second round pick, which is now a low 40s pick, which is, I believe, the 11 40, or 12.
42.
Yeah, something to that effect. And then a fifth round pick, I believe, this year as well. If not, sixth, one of those late picks. Next year, the Jets have to give up, guaranteed, their second round pick. But if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps, that becomes a first. Chris, riddle me this. Were these the parameters the whole time, or was this was a little extra?
I think that these may have been close to the original parameters.
Okay.
And then when Aaron Rodgers said that he was like 85% going to retire, there was a word that came out that Woody was like, "Oh, I'm not interested in trading a first rounder next year, not at all." So there was no, but realistically, I mean, if you're basing it off of what the media said all along, then the Packers kind of made out in terms of the expectation that we had going into yesterday, right? I did say if the Jets go up to make that pick at 13,
trade
wasn't going to happen,
right?
Thankfully, for the Packers' sake and for the Jets' sake, it did happen. I think it's a win on both sides. You can make the case that the Jets gave up too much if you're listening to what the media had to say. But prior to the actual agreement and then the fallout,
listen,
we were talking maybe 2-1s. So I feel like it's a good deal for the Jets to either – they would have been a fringe playoff team, if not at all. They would have won some games. But now they're a Super Bowl contender. You could say that they're not, but Vegas says that they are.
First of all, if you're a Jets fan and you're complaining about any kind of haul or any kind of – compensation for this pick. This is without a shadow. The guy doesn't have to take a snap. He's officially the greatest quarterback you've ever had on your roster in the history of your franchise. No Joe Namath. You're not talking Chad Pennington. You're not talking Brett Favre. You're not talking Sanchez. None of these guys. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback you've ever had. The best opportunity to win is when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Last year, I said, based off the fact that Breece Hall got hurt, and quarterback play was fringy, I said there was a running back away from being a playoff team before the quarterback went down, or at least started to stink, right? And then I'm like, all right, once they get this running back, they're a quarterback away. The New York Jets, I'm going to say right now, there's no doubts in my mind that when we're talking late December, early January, they're in the conversation to win the AFC East. And that's only because the way I saw Josh Allen play down the stretch, which again, I know he was hurt, but he became a little bit of a turnover issue, a la my guy Dak, right? You can't not admit that. And I understand that the skill level between Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, the only thing I'll say is that Josh Allen's younger. You know, I still look at Aaron Rodgers as one of the best throwers of the football that I've ever seen. And now you're putting him on a roster with the Garrett Wilsons. They bring over his boy, Alan Lazard. They got Breece Hall coming back off an injury. They got Corey Davis. They got Elijah Moore got traded. They have a squad.
They got a nice
They have a squad.
Team over there.
And this team was built on defense. So all of a sudden you have a good defense and now a more explosive offense with Rodgers throwing the rock. The Jets are in a very good spot.
The Jets are in a better spot than they've been in quite some time.
Maybe when they got Favre, felt like they were going to be okay.
I just look at the rest of the AFC, and that's why. It's like the Jets' best chance is when you look over and you're like, well, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Like,
oh, man, they're loaded.
We're talking about teams. If you go through the AFC right now, it's like the Dolphins are looking at like the 10th team. You know, if you're looking at the top 10 quarterbacks in the AFC, is Tua in the top, is Tua 10th? You know, like if you go through them, it's actually insane.
Where do you rank Rodgers right now? Second, right? To Mahomes?
Yeah. I mean, like I would take Burrow over him, but.
Would you?
If you put Joe Burrow on the Jets right now, I don't think that they're necessarily worse than they are with Aaron Rodgers. There's an element of what Burrow is bringing to the table late in seasons where he has that it factor to
him. Yeah, like icy cold Joe.
Like Herbert, December you know, Joe. Is like Herbert going to do worse for the Jets than Rodgers would? Like, they would be a really good team with Justin Herbert. So I don't know. We're basing it off of his career? Or are we basing it off of going forward? Or are we basing it off of this season?
Listen, and that's another thing the Jets have to wrap their heads around, okay? Like, a lot of people are in on my social media like, oh, yeah, good trade for a guy that's going to last 2 years. Yes. Yes, that's why you make this trade. That's why no matter what the compensatory pick is next year, whether it be a first or a second, it doesn't matter because hopefully if the Jets pan out, that pick's in the 20s anyway.
Look, it's not the end of the world for the Jets to get rid of a little draft capital because the team is built to win
right
now. Draft's
a crapshoot, man.
And they kept a first-round pick. It's not like they have
nothing
to come back.
Right, they still have something to do in the teams this year.
If the Jets make a deep playoff run, it's going to stink if they don't have a guy to add to their roster in the back end next year, the back end of the draft, to like go for another push. But realistically speaking, if they make a deep playoff run, that team is largely young and intact. Right. They're going to be able to make another deep playoff run with Rodgers if he sticks around. So that draft pick, while it's not the best thing in the world, they might be able to make another move and get something back for all we know. Joe Douglas has been pretty savvy in the draft. So.
Flip side of the coin, obviously. The Jets are wheeling and dealing. They're excited. How are you feeling now? This is officially the official start of Jordan Love season.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I've expected it for a little bit now. I'm not, you know, like obviously, you know, I'm an Aaron Rodgers guy. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not a little bit upset about the fact that it's all come to a close because this is nostalgia, my fanhood.
You and me are so much different. You know, I would be crippled in a corner.
No, I mean, I'm excited. I would be also crippled to lose the potential of having Jordan Love as our starter for the next 15 years. That would be crippling.
And if history repeats itself like it has twice now.
I came across a post, and I'm glad I made this post back in the day because it was the day of the draft. And I said, like, I'm not excited, but I don't hate it. Ruthless business is signifies the definitive end of the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay. This was 3 years ago. And by the way,
Aaron Rodgers just happened to go win two MVPs since then. Yeah. So that's why you couldn't move on from Aaron Rodgers at the time. But now look, the last scene of Aaron Rodgers is him walking off as a loser. I'm not a loser in per se, but he lost the game to Detroit.
I mean,
couldn't get into the playoffs, and that's the last you see.
How many quarterbacks?
Favre's last throw was a pick.
How many quarterbacks in history of the league go out a winner?
Well, that's the thing. You know what I heard this morning? No Jets fan calling in. He's no Tom Brady. And, like, he's not going to, like, resurrect a friend. I said, are you out of your mind? Like, Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady. Let's be honest. They stacked that team. That was a super team. If this is the NBA, that's a super team what he brought down there.
I would say in terms of a skill set, where the skill set lies right now as to when Brady won that Super Bowl with Tampa, he was a shell of himself in New England for 2 or 3 years before that, maybe two. I don't want to.
So if anything, this is chip on the shoulder, Rodgers. He might light it up.
Aaron Rodgers is going to play well. Does anybody not expect Aaron Rodgers to play well? I think he's going to play fine.
I can't find.
Is going to be elite.
You find me a person that's going to come out of here, out of the woodwork, out of this trade, and say he's washed.
I'm saying that, like, the conversation to be had more so is what you were saying. It's like the Packers now have some decent draft capital to help out Jordan Love. Bakhtiari came out and said, like, we're obviously in a rebuild, but not in the sense where we think we're going to be bad. But we're going from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a guy that hasn't only started once in relief of the Hall of Fame quarterback. And he hasn't had a full offseason as a starter. Let's see what Jordan Love could do. It is a rebuild in that sense, but the defense has some players. They have a lot of first-round picks scattered around that defense. They have a decent offensive line. They have a good running game. And they have some good young receivers that I think could blossom. And we have some high draft capital this year to make things work. The NFC is wide open, completely wide open.
I said it to a couple of my colleagues yesterday.
And we kept Aaron Rodgers out of the San Fran for you, buddy.
Yeah, you did. Thanks. I appreciate that. Because right now, I say, in lieu of this trade, it's a three team to me right now who are built right now to win the NFC. It is obviously the defending NFC champion, Philadelphia Eagles, which I believe they lost a couple pieces. I'm sure they'll address that in the draft, and I'm sure they're going to go in as odds-on favorites to repeat, right? the San Francisco 49ers, who are right now, if the season started today, your quarterback is Sam Darnold because nobody's recovered, right? But by the time the season rolls around, you're going to have Trey Lance, you're going to have Brock Purdy, you're going to have a decision to make. I still think Trey Lance might get dealt. I still think that. Because they're fielding calls. And
well, they're not getting them, apparently.
Well, no, Lynch said he didn't give out a 1-800 number for Trey Lance. They're just coming in. People are calling about Trey Lance. That's happening
right
now.
I actually saw the opposite. It said that there really isn't anybody calling.
Well, no, they're not shopping him.
There's no interest.
People are calling.
Look, I want to see Trey Lance stick around just until I get that helmet on sold on eBay. I have a 49er helmet full size that has to go.
But what I'm saying is it's the Eagles, it's the 49ers, and it's my Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry. There's no other teams right now that are on paper looking to make the Super Bowl push. You could say the Vikings, but their defense was garbage, right?
They're probably going to move Cook. I mean,
that might happen. Who are the teams? See some teams that are on the rise.
Who are the teams in the NFC right now that you think could actually make a legitimate push at that three?
The Cowboys.
No, you're saying that they're in that three.
Yes.
All right. So if they're the three guarantees, who are the other four?
I think the other teams could be.
Whoever wins the South, which is going to be
the Saints, you would assume the Saints. A buddy of mine, Craig, he texted me yesterday. He goes, "Look at the quarterbacks the Saints have to play this year." And I looked at it, I was like, "Oh my God." I was like, "The Saints might actually win 10, 11 games. So they'll be in the hunt again, right?" And they have Derek Carr. So you never know.
Sparked early if they make it into the postseason.
We'll see, because Kamara's probably going to miss some games. But like on the come up, I do see Detroit as a fun team, a scrappy team to come up eventually, right? Chicago, what can you do? I don't know. You don't believe in Justin Fields? I don't really either. The Giants.
We're talking about the other one.
The New York Giants right now are probably in a position where they paid their quarterback. They're more than likely going to pay their running back, right? Like you would assume.
They're more than likely going to get him to sign the franchise. Like they're not.
Whatever. They'll have Barkley this year, is what I'm saying.
That's not happening. He'll play, but I'll be shocked.
I see those teams. I see those teams, man. It'll be interesting. But the NFC is, in fact, wide open. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers.
I am going to place a sturdy bet on the Packers to win the AFC North or NFC North.
You win both. Both divisions. Win them both.
Yeah, we might. I mean, look.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFC North right now? B is. Modest as you possibly could be.
I am. Jordan Love. 100%. To me, I wouldn't trade Jordan Love for Justin Fields. I know that people might rip me to shreds, but why? Why? They're both first rounders. One guy sat behind a Hall of Famer for 3 years in the same system. And one guy who, you know, I know that there's some expectations. He's a good runner. But their own franchise didn't let him throw the ball last year. I know that they added a give me a break. I want to see Justin Fields complete 20 passes in a game.
Well, he might not be built for that, but in any event, Jared Goff is over there.
Is Kirk Cousins maybe better equipped to lead a team this year than Jordan Love? I mean, like, for now, only because we haven't seen Jordan Love do it, but the bar is set pretty low for Jordan Love to be able to be the number one quarterback in that division out of the gate. It's pretty low. If Kirk Cousins is the bar and Justin Fields is, like, scratching at the bar, but, you know, realistically.
No respect for Jared Goff after what he did last year?
I have respect for Jared Goff. But I also see what Jared Goff has done throughout the body of work in his career. It could be a good situation for him right here. He has played in a Super Bowl. But then he's also had tons of weapons surrounding him, and he's been the liability. And then last year, or even the first year, it took a little bit of time to get going. Like, this team was 0-6 last year or something like that. It wasn't, you know, they've had their struggles as well. Jared Goff, good player. But let's be real. Is Jared Goff sitting inside your top 20? Or is he just out? You know,
probably outside.
Where do you rank Jared Goff? Last year in the NFC in terms of efficiency and things like that, you could say that he was a top two quarterback. Would you put Jared Goff over some of these guys? No.
No, I would not. So it's interesting. We'll see how it goes. But
the Lions might draft a QB.
They might. They absolutely might. They have the opportunity to. I still think in my sick, twisted mind, and you know what? We were going to do mock draft stuff today. But just based off the fact that the feeling that this conversation went a little long, we could always dive in mock draft heavy tomorrow. But I do feel like the Cardinals are still in play for quarterback. I don't know why. But it's just like, as weird as it sounds, as weird as it feels.
The way it's looking, I don't think that the Cardinals are in play for a quarterback. I think the Cardinals are in play to trade that pick big time.
I mean, everybody's got one guy going to this guy. So it's like they're trying to replace J.J. Watt is what they're trying to do.
And so it's like, all right. The Cardinals, if they make a trade, then they might find themselves later on in the draft, which is what I think is going to happen, is that there's teams that are going to be not really wanting to draft a quarterback, but some of them are going to slip, and they're going to be in a position where the Packers were in. We're like, well, we're going to take Jordan Love because this is the guy that's here.
It's very, very possible. Very, very possible. All right.
Hearing all kinds of crazy chatter of about course. The top 10 right now.
Let's move on to the NBA. Last night we had ourselves some burners of games last night. It starts with, all of a sudden, we thought the Knicks being up 3-1 was a shock. Well, how about this? How about the fact that the Miami Heat had to scratch and claw their way just to get to the playoffs, right? They get there, and now they're up 3-1 over the Milwaukee Bucks, the one seed, with a 119-114 win last night. But there was one guy.
Eric Spoelstra his flowers soon.
I watched him last night. You know, obviously the Rangers were on simultaneously, so I was able to watch the end of the game. I watched Spoelstra. He looks like he's got some control over that team. He looks like he's a very, very well-rounded coach. But the guy is no other than Jimmy Butler, absolutely ham last night. 56 points, which, by the way, what they're calling is the greatest postseason performance by a single player in Miami history, they're saying. So you look at Miami's history. You got the LeBrons, the Wades, the Bosches, the Tim Hardaways, the Mornings. They're saying that last night was the greatest performance they've ever seen out of a Miami Heat player. And, I mean, recency bias or not, Jimmy Butler has the Heat one win away from getting bouncing the number one seed all of a sudden.
I think Dwayne Wade got to the free throw line like 39 times in one game.
That's a hack of Wade.
In the finals.
Hack of Wade.
Bro. That was the year that they won, and Dwayne Wade was like 23 or 22 years old, took him to the NBA championship and won it. I mean, let's...
He didn't win a title without LeBron, did he?
Oh, yes, he did. It was Shaq. It was Alonzo Mourning. It was like Alonzo Mourning was the backup center. It was Shaq, D. Wade, yes.
Really? I don't remember that at all. What year was... Are you
they
sure?
Beat, you know who they beat? The Spurs? Mavericks. That was the OG Mavericks Heat series.
Dirk? Damn, I don't remember that at all. I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I can remember what things I've done when
now,
I was
now
four.
Because you're not remembering.
I'm questioning. I'm sorry.
On another alternative.
I thought that the
right
championship
now.
Started when LeBron
no,
and
Dwayne Wade definitely got a championship before LeBron. 100%. Dave's gaslighting me right now, guys. This is embarrassing.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what gaslighting means anymore. But anyway, so
gaslighting is just what you did. Like I know something for a fact, mm-hmm. and like your pathological confusion is like making me question my sanity now.
Well, I'm Googling
no, I'm not.
Just
I'm
sure.
not. It's 2005 or 2006.
All right. The Dwayne Wade era. Oh, this is like they got a whole write up. Can you just give me the championship? Look at this stuff. Now I'm like ridiculously concerned that you're wrong.
Dave's just doing this for content purposes.
I'm not doing this for content purposes.
He needs to know if he needs to edit this episode.
No. This is individual awards, NBA. Dude, come on, man. How many?
Just say.
I need ChatGPT right now. How many titles does Miami Heat have? Three. 2006, 2012, and 2013. So there you go. 2006 is when they won it before the entire. No, wait a minute.
Yeah. They were rookies in 2004. Or 2003.
So the LeBron decision wasn't until 2012?
Yeah, no, bro.
What year are we in? This is ridiculous. Anyway, it's I'm in another universe here. All right, so Miami, again, great performance out of them. Do they shut the door? Is Giannis played last night, which, by the way, was insane because I'm thinking to myself, like, this guy's going to miss the next game. They could definitely lose the next one, right? Because we don't know about Giannis. Giannis goes in there. Plays his minutes, 38 of them, perhaps, and 26 points in this performance. So he goes nuts. But look, you're looking at this Bucks team, the best team in the NBA pretty much all season.
I thought they were going to cruise through the East, at least into the Eastern Conference.
They are
finals.
One loss away from being bounced. Would this be one of the most, like, listen, I don't know off the top of my head the last time we saw an 8 bounce of 1, but, like, it's got to be not as of recent as we think.
I think,
right?
Like, fairly recent, 2013 maybe.
If it's 2013, I'm going to lose my mind. When is the last time?
I know the Nuggets beat the Sonics in, like, 2002.
One seed.
Or, like, 94 or something crazy.
NBA. Google. In the 2010-2011 season, the number 8 seed Memphis Grizzlies took out the number 1 seed Spurs. So that's the last time it happened.
And then I know that there was two other times.
Okay.
There has to have been three. Because I know for a fact that Kemba Mutombo knocked off the Sonics as an 8 seed with the Nuggets when I was a kid. Because I remember Kemba
Mutombo
rolling
did you also know? Did you also know there's only one team in NBA history as an 8 seed to go all the way to the finals? You know who that was? Just based on my tone, you should probably know who that was. It was the 1999 New York Knicks. 8 seed, went all the way, got smoked by the Spurs. Because the Twin Towers of David Robinson and Tim Duncan just absolutely owned us that year. But in any event, great game by the Heat. It's incredible to see what they've done as the 8 seed again. And we'll see if they can sustain it right now. I mean, there was a vibe last night where Jimmy Butler hit that last three, and he was on fire. Like, literally, figuratively, the Heat were smoking guns last night. It was incredible to see that arena. Now they got to go back to Milwaukee. Is it hostile territory? Is Aaron Rodgers selling his stock? There's a lot of things going into the Milwaukee Bucks right now. The city of Milwaukee lost twice yesterday. So, or at least Green Bay and Wisconsin. Mm. But you know what I'm talking about. They lost their legend quarterback, and now they lost this game. I'm well aware that it could be good times ahead. Oh, who cares? You never know. But look.
I care.
I know you care. But what I'm saying is, I think right now the Miami Heat are in a position, and if all kind of goes to chalk,
the Knicks to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I was just going to say, man, if the Knicks can finish it off tomorrow night in Cleveland, this might set up a Heat-Knicks second round, and you're looking at it like, how is that remotely possible? And the Knicks would have home court.
Does it remind you of anything? You know, the Knicks and the Heat meet in the second round of the playoffs to find out who's going to lose in the Eastern Conference
Finals. It reminds me of like Van Gundy being dragged around on the floor.
And it's like then there's like a monster in the next round waiting for them. So they're going to beat the shit out of each other then get bounced in the next round easily.
Like, who was the teams back then when the Knicks and the Bulls?
It was the Bulls. Yeah, then there was the Pacers that were.
Pacers.
But it was mainly Bastards. The Bulls.
Yeah, it was mainly the Bulls. But yeah, so every time.
Who were the teams? Was there a guy that played back then? Yeah, Michael. Won everything? Dave?
Jordan. Hello? Jordan played. I forget. All right. After that, in the primetime game, which, by the way, I saw your group messaging. I'm like, how did these guys stay up for this crap? It's like I was in my third dream by the third quarter. But last night, I did watch all the highlights and stuff, and it looks like LeBron James has become, has anointed himself king once again. Goes a 20-20 performance. Incredible. Like, Brooks may never want to see the light of day again.
It's really hard for anybody at this point. And I know I'm proud of you for turning the corner recently. To really, like, what could you say at this point? Like, there's really just not much you could say.
On the court, you can't.
Fine. That should be the case across the board, right? Like,
that's true. Like, who am I to be like, oh, what is this? Like, I get it.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
It's like whatever people want to say, and that's fine.
This dude is making things look easy. I mean, I really wish Brooks didn't say anything. Because
LeBron just wants to dribble to the basket every single play. It's there. If I was LeBron, I would be like, I'm not passing unless it's, you better be open for three. If they crash on me, I'll kick it out. Hit your shots. But I would, whoever's covering me, I'm driving to the lane every single play. There's
22 points,
there's no stopping
20 rebounds, 7 assists. 2 blocks, like LeBron James.
You see what LeBron James did at the end of that game to get to the bucket.
And
he did it again to get. It's like you just can't stop it. 22 points, but they were the biggest points of the entire night. The game tying. Look, and then LeBron's layup that he like screamed at the top of his lungs. It's like, this guy's how old?
Right.
What is he doing? And then you start looking at graphics, and I'm not taking anything away from Jordan. Jordan's my guy, right? But my goodness gracious, this guy's 38 years old. His son's about to get drafted.
Yamming on folks. I'm talking just...
His son's going to get drafted in a year, and he's the best player on the court, and they're against the 2 seed. He's like not even close. LeBron is the best player on the court. Not even close.
And, I mean, look, they're right there. Every win that they've had has been convincing, by the way. You know what I mean? Like, I get it goes to overtime, but you pull away. I mean,
they had a scratching claw, but that shows what you want to see out of
the
team.
What I'm saying is, once they do get that lead, and once they do start controlling the game, late in the game, whether it be in the regulation or even overtime, they look like a whole nother breed of basketball. And it's just like, it's very hard to stop, and I'm very curious to see how this all plays out for LeBron James in year 20, guys, 20. Tonight, NBA goes down. You got more games. Let's pick some. It's Boston. It's Atlanta. It's back in Boston. The series is obviously 3-1 Boston. Gooch, is it over tonight for the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I'm in on the Boston Celtics.
If it's
Celtics.
Not tonight, it's just semantics at this point. It's a matter of when. We all know that.
I think Boston cleans them up tonight. Denver, who's also up 3-1, they're back at home. The Timberwolves kind of scrapped and clawed that last game. Great for them. Good for Carl Anthony Towns, Jersey guy. Great. But it doesn't look like it's going to be anything good in Denver for them. I'm going to ride with Denver as well. And then, obviously, primetime matchup here. but Phoenix has pulled away a little bit. You got injuries galore over there in LA. People are questioning the toughness of Kawhi Leonard, and how can you not? Like, it's the playoffs. I mean, you're not there. I feel like this is Lamar Jackson in basketball. Like, you got to be there, bro. You got to be there.
I could understand the Kawhi Leonard because he seemingly did this with the Spurs where he's just like, if I don't feel right, I'm not going to play.
Right, dude. This is nuts.
But you guys knew what you were getting when you got it. That's who he was before. That's who he's going to be. I wouldn't question.
I wouldn't say it's buyer's remorse either because he's still a great ball player.
I don't necessarily question Kawhi Leonard's toughness. I'm not his knee. I don't know what's going on in there. Mm. You know, like, he's probably really hurt, and he's not a type of guy that's like, yeah, I can be tough all you want. I'm not compromising anything. So you could say I'm not tough or I'm tough. It doesn't matter to him. He's a different cat. But I think he's hurt. You know, you got teammates in the locker room that you have to face and things like that. Like, we'll see.
So?
If he's not really hurt, then they're going to come out with a report. But what about Paul George? What about anybody?
12 hours ago, Kawhi ruled out.
Yeah.
It's so over. That should be it. I mean, we said the Suns were going to go in there.
Are we going to get three wrap-ups tonight?
I think we're going to get three wrap-ups tonight. So that'll make things a lot interesting as the playoffs roll on. Obviously, Wednesday night, we'll get into more of that because you got the Lakers trying to finish it out. You got the Knicks trying to finish it out. You got Miami trying to finish it out. Wednesday is going to be loaded. There's four games on the slate. There's three tonight. We'll get into all that. But the way to follow us all over the planet is to do that by following us on the old social media, ladies and gentlemen. You could do that by Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You've seen Twitter last night, very active last night, based off of a liquid prop bets. You definitely want to get involved if you want to basically play within the game. The game within the game. You can also take, obviously, straight bets and bet on teams to win. We get that, but the liquid props have been a lot of fun throughout the course of the playoffs and at the end of the regular season. So you can definitely follow us over there. You can definitely check back with us tomorrow. We do have, I'm going to be honest with you, on the bottom of this is a mock draft. So we did plan on doing some mock draft stuff. We will do that tomorrow and Thursday as the draft gets closer. The draft now has officially been shaken up. The Packers moving up two spots. The Jets moving back two spots. We're going to get into it tomorrow. Thursday is the draft. Friday, we'll analyze everything that went down. NBA playoffs rolling on. You notice I went the whole entire show without talking about the New York Rangers losing again at the Garden. It's because I didn't want to talk about it. And there, I just kind of talked about it. So that's that. We'll see what they can do with The Rock. And that goes down on Thursday. So why not make me watch the Rangers and the Devils during the NFL draft? That's exactly what I wanted to do. And all the while, I wanted to go see Jeremy Piven at the Stress Factory. I can't even do that. Special appearance by Ari Gold himself. Anyway, for Sturch, Dave Sturgio, and Chris Gucci, this has been another episode of the Mojo Market Report. Enjoy the basketball tonight. Back tomorrow to break it all down.
Jets fans will see a lot of this.
Does he do this again?